have your Bibles. I hope you've already gotten to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You there? Can you hear you say amen?
Amen.
All right. Now, last week we began looking at wisdom in James chapter 1. And James mentioned two kinds of wisdom. There's the wisdom that's from below. And we saw that in verses 15 and 16, where he says, such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is disorder and every evil practice. So the wisdom from below basically is all about me. It's all about me getting what I want, what I need in my life. But the wisdom that's from above, in verse 17, he says, comes from heaven, is first of all pure, then it's peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. It is impartial and it's sincere. Now, wisdom from above is pure and peaceable. Pure talks about our relationship with the Lord. And then peace-loving or peaceable is our ability to get along with other people. And we need to have both of those. So many people don't have wisdom because they don't have any information about what wisdom is according to the Word. Folks, it doesn't matter how many books you've read, doesn't matter how many people you've talked to that will tell you all about the great things that you need to do in order to get wisdom. If you don't study the Word of God, you will never find the wisdom of God.
Amen.
It's interesting that recent surveys show that almost every American home includes a Bible. Does everybody here have a Bible? In fact, the average American house has four Bibles. Anybody have more than four Bibles?
With Mike and mine.
I counted. I have 17 with different translations and all kinds of different things. I have all of those. But in many homes, the Bible is simply a centerpiece. It's something that's on the coffee table. You don't touch it. It's there. Or it's a dust catcher. You know, you really never move it around. But as the children of God, we have got to memorize the Word of God. Because, folks, there's coming a time when they're going to try to take our Bibles from us.
Amen.
Because remember, it's getting to the point now where when you say something that's contrary to society, that's hate speech. And they'll take our Bibles from us. So we need to memorize the Word of God. We need to hide it in our hearts, the Scripture says, so that we will not sin against God. And then we need to use the Word in our daily lives. What good does it do if you have all that knowledge and you can't do anything with it? That's the kind of person that is really blessed of the Lord, who memorizes, hides the Word in their heart, and uses the Word in their daily lives. Because to hear the Bible and yet not to obey the Bible is foolish. Say, Pastor, you shouldn't call somebody foolish. I didn't call anybody foolish. Ephesians 5:17, Paul said, do not be foolish, but wise by understanding what the will of the Lord is. How are you going to understand the will of the Lord? Class?
Read
the Word. Yeah, there you go. That's how you do it. But when we hear the Word, then we need to obey it. Then we need to do something with it. That's what wisdom is. Most of us, you know Psalm 1, right? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night.
Amen.
So if you properly receive the Word, and you have practically responded to the Word, there's going to be a personal righteousness in your life from the Word. Did you notice how he used three P's? That's pretty cool. They were all in the pot. And when you have these things in your life, there's three important areas, things that are going to happen. First of all, it'll affect how you hear. It'll affect what you say. And it will affect the control of your temper. So I want to look at those. How do we hear? Well, it's James chapter 1, verse 19. So then, my beloved, let everyone be swift to hear. In other words, we ought to pay attention and get it right. So many times, we listen, but we don't listen. What? Yes, we do. Too many times we're thinking of what we're going to say and really not listening to what someone else is saying. You're formulating your answer before you even hear the end of that situation. I like Acts 17:11. Here's a good group of people. Now the Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. I've said this so many times. Folks, what I preach from is the word of God. What I say is the word of God. I am not one of those pastors that will tell you, this is what I think. Because I'm just like you. My thoughts are not always his thoughts.
Amen.
Now, you'll have to determine whether your thoughts are as his thoughts. But my thoughts are not always. So I always say to you, if you hear something, write it down, go home, search it out. If it's something that I said that was wrong, please come to me and tell me, because I'll correct it. I'm going to let you in on something that you can't leave. It can't leave this building, okay? I'm not perfect.
I'm not either.
You didn't hear that, Rochelle. Okay. Let me ask you this. Are you hungry for the Word of God? Because God wants us to have wisdom. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And basically, God speaks to us in three different ways. First of all, he speaks through the scripture. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes in and divides between the joints and the marrow, and the soul and the spirit. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God tells us about the Lord. It makes it clear about God's character and his nature. It also tells us about our character and our nature and how we can be reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the Bible also gives us guidance on how to live. Psalm 119, verse 105, he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, it shows us what we ought to be doing. The scripture provides warnings for disobedience. It promises rewards for obedience. And with the greatest reward being the Lord himself. So I guess the question is, are you quick to hear the word of God? Are you hungry for the word of God? Do you read it daily? Do you read it with devotion? Because God speaks through the scripture. He also speaks through the sermon. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, the writer says, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. We need to listen to the word of God. Let me ask you this, and I want you to be candid, all right? Well, maybe not really candid. Do you enjoy the preaching of the Word of God?
Amen.
Do you? Are you excited when you come together thinking, oh man, God's going to have something for me today?
Amen.
I hope you are. You know, as pastor, I really take the command given to preachers very seriously. Paul said to Timothy, preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And the reason he told him to do that, if you continue on in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires they will have itching ears. They will heap upon themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. That's my commission from the Lord. And I plan to do it as long as the Lord will let me do it. So the Lord speaks through Scripture. He speaks through the sermon. And he also speaks through the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance those things which I have said to you. You see, as we meditate on the Word, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Jesus said that. When he comes, he will guide us into the truth. Let me ask you, in your prayer time, do you listen to the Lord as well as speak to the Lord? In 1 John chapter 5, John said, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now let me stop for just a second. If we ask anything according to his will. That is not a blanket verse to ask God and hope and expect that he's going to give you anything you ask for. It is according to his will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of him. We should speak to the Lord. That's what prayer is. But we should also listen to the Spirit because he will respond. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And in the same way, we ought to be quick to listen to one another. I don't know how many marriages break up because of a breakdown in communications. Many marriages could be improved overnight if the husband and the wife would just listen to one another. Are you quick to hear more than you are to speak? James says one of the marks of spiritual maturity is that you are a quick hearer. You're quick to hear the scripture. You're quick to hear the sermon. You're quick to hear the Spirit. Another mark of spiritual maturity is that we're slow to speak. Verse 19 goes on, "Let everyone be swift to hear and slow to speak." If you want to put that in modern language, it's something like, "Don't butt in." Or if you're down south, they normally will say something like, "Hush." Just hush. You'll get it done. You see, one of the best ways to stay out of trouble is to simply keep our mouths shut.
Amen.
Proverbs 17:27 says, "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." You know, someone has well said, it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. One of the marks of someone who walks with God is they have learned how to control their tongue. So it's important that we are listeners. All they need is a sympathetic ear. And we need to be there for them. You see, talking too much can get us into trouble. I love this old saying, wise old Al lived in an oak. The more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like that bird? Right? Psalm 141 verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips." Boy, that's a good proverb, isn't it? In other words, watch your words. And folks, we need to keep our words sweet. You know what I mean? Because someday you may have to eat them. So be careful. So we need to be swift to hear. We need to be slow to speak. And then we need to be slow to anger. Or as one translation says, to wrath. You see, when you have a quick ear and you have a slow tongue, you're going to be slow to anger. The rabbis used to say that one of the reasons you had two ears and one mouth is that you were supposed to listen twice as much as you were to talk. And our words have a great effect on our temper. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger." You see, some people have hair trigger tempers. You ever been around people like that? They fly off the handle on anything. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, "Don't be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools." Someone who has a hair trigger is someone who has a foolish mind. Now, James didn't say you should never get angry. The Bible never says anywhere that you can't get angry. You're to be angry when anger is called for. We've got to be angry, but in a spiritual way. Say, "Pastor, those things don't sound like they go together." Yeah, they do. Jesus was angry in a spiritual way when he overturned the tables in the temple court. You see, we ought to be angry at principles, not at people. We ought to be angry at sin, not the sinner. I mean, even when Jesus was dying on the cross, to those who crucified him and to those who were yelling at him, he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Now, this may come as a surprise to some of you, but you can be angry without throwing things. You can. You can be angry without cussing somebody out or assailing their integrity and telling them how terrible they are. You can be angry without hitting someone or doing physical harm or taking part in violence. There's a way that we need to be standing for what we believe, but violence is not one of them. And James is simply saying this: when the Word of God is welcome in your life and you have properly received His words, it's going to clean up your life. You will be open to everything that it teaches. And there will be a practical response to the Word. You not only will hear what the Bible has to say, you will obey what you heard. And when that happens, it shows in a personal righteousness. When you get to that point, you can control your thoughts. You can control your tongue. You can control your temper. Now look at James 1, verse 21. "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Now that phrase, "lay aside all filthiness," it's interesting because the word filthiness actually means wax in the ear. Right? Anything that hinders you from hearing. You must remove anything in your heart that will keep you from hearing the Word of God. So I guess the question is, anything in your heart right now that will keep you from hearing and doing the Word of God? It's interesting. James calls the Bible the implanted Word. And it talks about the idea of grafting a branch on a limb or planting a seed in soil. In fact, the Bible's called a seed through the Scripture. But here's the key. You've got to remove the weeds before you plant the seeds, right? Any good gardener will tell you that. I'm not a good gardener, and I know that. And before you can understand the Bible, you've got to get rid of your pet sins before the Bible's ever going to come alive in your life. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Because the seed of God's word can't take root where the weeds of sin have grown. You've got to get rid of the sin. And as I said last week, that word meekness means strength under control. It's the idea of taming a wild horse. The wild horse is still a horse, but he's under control. There's two ways you can study the Bible, folks. You can study it with your mind made up, and there's lots and lots of Christians that study that. Or you can let the Word of God make up your mind. The reason that a lot of Christians get into trouble when they face difficulties is because they do what they think is right instead of doing what God says is right. You should not edit the Bible to fit your situation. You don't pull passages of Scripture out of context to say, "This is my opinion, this is what I think, and here's a verse that says it." You've got to do it in context, folks. You've got to simply obey the Word of God. Verse 22 says, "Be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself." When my daughter was small, she was quoting that, and she would say, "Be doers of the Word and not ears only." And I thought, man, that is so true. He said, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." For many of us, we hear, but we don't do anything with what we've heard. Folks, every precept, every principle, every promise in the Bible has a practical application for us. And James here describes a person who simply skims the Bible. I hope you're not a skimmer. They forget everything they read, and they just go about doing their business as if they had never, ever read it before. It's like somebody who gets up in the morning, looks in the mirror, sees he's got a beard and his hair's not combed. So he decides, well, it's time to go to work. He puts all his clothes on, goes off to work, forgetting about shaving, forgetting about combing his hair. Goes to work looking like an accident, finding some place to happen. You know, just really looks. And I'm just saying that for guys. I know you ladies don't do things like that, but, you know, it's the idea of comparison. James compares the Bible to a mirror. And folks, mirrors can be ruthless. They really can. A mirror doesn't lie. A mirror doesn't play favorites. And mirrors don't worry about your feelings. They just don't. A mirror shows you the way you really are. And that's why lots of people don't want to read the Bible. Because the Bible tells you just exactly who you are. When we read the Bible, we see ourselves the way God sees us. Now, verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Now, in verse 23, that first word was observe, and it means just a casual glance. You know, it's kind of like when you walk by the mirror. I don't know, Rochelle kids me all the time about whenever there's a mirror around, you can find me. You can go into a store, and if you're looking for me, you find out where the mirrors are, and that's where I am. Now, I don't know that that's true. Yeah, it is. It's a casual glance. But here in verse 25, that word look at means to fix your attention on something. I mean, to focus on it. James goes on to say that not only are we to focus on the perfect law of liberty, but we're to continue to do it. We're supposed to do it. If you're going to read your Bible properly, you got to read it daily, and you got to read it diligently. Because the more you read it, the more you're going to understand it. And the more you understand it, the more you will enjoy it. But here's the caution in all of that. You can believe the truths that are taught in the Bible, but they will remain just information until you act on it. You've got to act on it. And once you obey it, that's when it becomes the blessing in your life. Psalm 119:2 says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies. Jesus said, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. You see, only a heart that's been weeded from sin is the good ground that the seed of God will flourish in. So I guess my prayer this morning is, may God, the mirror of God's word, cause us to become Christ-like. Willing to forgive instead of being self-righteous, and really become the people God wants us to be. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray.